Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Infomoto podcast presented by AutoGlim.
AutoGlim.
It's me and Snag in the studio today for a something of a special addition to the Infomoto podcast presented by AutoGlim.
AutoGlim.
Because Norton Motorcycles is back. We've heard that before, haven't we, Snag?
Yeah, but it does give me a little frisson of joy.
Yeah, I'm happy for it. Norton Motorcycles, possible, if not the most iconic British mark, it's second.
Well, you know, your Triumph people will argue with you about that, but Norton people have got a very strong case as well.
Racing heritage, engineering prowess early with the Iselastics and stuff like that. Cool, right? But they've had some false starts, to say the least.
Yeah, and that's fair to say.
Norton Motorcycles relaunch. There's a lot of eyes on it because, to not put too fine a point on it, they can't fuck this up again.
There's no room for a fuck up.
No, they got it. And I've got the inside story. So
now tell me, because you were flown over to India to have a look at Norton's partner TVS Motor, and to take in the Norton element of that. How did it go?
We were very lucky to be among 10 people to get a first look at Norton's operations.
A bit of a feather in your cap there too, Spence.
Thank you. I should do my very best to contextualise this for the audience. So in 2020, TVS Motor acquired Norton Motorcycles. Before then, it had had all kinds of drama with its previous ownership. It was a shit show.
Norton's
previous owner. And it was bought and saved by TVS Motor, which is an Indian manufacturer.
No shortage of money.
And I think that, above all else, why Norton wanted to take me out there to see the factory is that, in their words, it's not going to be run by cowboys with money anymore. You know, TVS Motor is a monstrous organization. It makes 4.7 million vehicles a year across 90 different markets.
It's a number you can't even get your head around.
I stood on the production line. They made a new bike every 28 seconds. Not Norton's, but a simpler TVS
part
motorcycle.
Of the range.
And I went to their Hosur plant, which was just this huge joint in Bangalore, India. Bangalore, known affectionately as the Silicon Valley of India.
Might have a different valley.
Yeah, but the plant was
Fortitude Valley, I reckon.
Exceptional. the front gate of this factory I went to was in one district, they call it, in India. And the back door was in a different district. That's how huge and expansive this thing is. So the point is, Norton is owned by something with absolute manufacturing might. TVS Motors is the fourth largest motorcycle manufacturer in the world, behind, it would be Honda, Hero, and Bajaj, I believe. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Well, I think it's important to contextualise the fact that it's not going to run out of money anytime soon.
It's not going to run out of money. I think that's the key point. They have – the factory is so modern, like, yeah, it's in India, but don't make any preconceived judgments there. This is as sophisticated a factory setup as you could possibly consider. AI everywhere, Palantir, which is – I don't know about that, but the point is the automation, the robotics, the AI, this is like a high-end level. Like if someone drops a bolt on the floor, the whole factory, it's all registered.
That's
as
all
a
very
loss.
Nice. What about these Nortons?
Okay. I just wanted to contextualize that.
Understood.
Today, time of recording, Norton has announced four new models of a total six. The Manx, the Atlas and the Atlas GT. So the Manx is a V4 platform, a new 1200cc
V4. 1200cc
V4? 206 horsepower, which is 153 kilowatts.
That's an exciting thing, a V4.
That is an exciting thing. So the Manx R is their flagship. That's what they're leading with at the EICMA Motorcycle Show. It's super high premium, a super premium.
So that's their hero
bike.
That's
their hero motorcycle. There's Manx, not R, which is like a sort of, you call it like a naked version or whatever. Same engine, but probably less expensive, probably. Yep. And they've also got the Atlas and Atlas GT, which is sort of an adventure tourer, adventure bike with a parallel twin.
Spreading it wide.
Now, I did see those engines over there at the factory, and I expect there to be two more bikes on either the V4 or the parallel.
Did you try and sneak off and look at things?
I did, and they were real sheepish.
Were they?
So it was interesting, just more on the TVS angle, it was interesting because, you know, TVS has put in 200 million Great British Pounds into a Solihull, I believe. Oh, apologies if I get that wrong.
Solihull.
It's in the West Midlands. They've invested 200 million into Norton over there.
200 million pounds, that is, too, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's got the capacity to make 8,000 bikes a year over there. And they've also increased their workforce by 25%. So things are happening. The Norton resurgence, as they call it.
8,000 bikes.
And so, yeah, and let's have a think about this bike, this Manxar, the flagship bike. They've taken some risks, you know. It's, they have. It's clear in the way they talk and the, in fact, the products that they've shown that they want to stay boutique and interesting in the way that Norton is. There's no wings on the bike, which is, you know, that's a change up. Like, it's got all hidden fasteners, like really clean lines, carbon fiber wheels, carbon fiber bodywork, single
super
side
primo.
Primo and unique.
Yep.
Single-sided swing arm, that kind of stuff. I don't know where this land, what kind of buyer it's targeted towards, really, because, you know, while we don't have a price yet, we know for the it's going to be up there. It's going to be
post 50,000 Australian.
I'd say so. It's got, like, it's Panigale V4
but
money.
Remembering this is the GT, which is the super primo one, and there might there might be one under that.
Possibly, who knows?
Yeah.
The impression I get is that Norton wants to stay premium, but with the parallel twin, that there might be ones like in the 20 grand mark.
Right.
And, you know, they've got plans to have over 200 showrooms, and while nothing's confirmed for Australia, they were talking about it, and in fact, they were asking me like how they should distribute it in Australia. So
Well, the fact that they asked an Australian motorcycle journalist on that trip, I
appreciated it.
That tells me that they're interested in the Asia Pacific region.
Absolutely, I got a good impression from the Norton people, like that this was a global affair,
right?
Because It's sort of that model now of Indian manufacturing saving these iconic brands, you know. I mean, I think Royal Enfield.
Well, I mean, Royal Enfield's just gone absolutely gangbusters with its Indian backing.
Mm.
The template is there.
Yep.
I'm just so pleased to see the brand back, and I was getting a bit sick of seeing that. You know, I've got a soft spot for Norton, having owned them. I know that they used to be flawed motorcycles, but they were absolute jewels as well. So
yep.
I was getting a bit pissed off watching Norton, you know, are they or aren't they? As we've said, this is their last chance. But from what I can see and what you're saying in regard to the strength of the infrastructure plus the investment, they are fair dinkum.
Yep. Also on specs and stuff like that. So 153 kilowatts, 130 newton meters. Okay, it's maybe a bit light on some of the competitors, but this bike, the Manx R, it's positioned to be its own thing. And it's got some pretty modern shit on it, like for sure. Like semi-active Marzocchi suspension, which is bespoke for Norton.
Yes.
These new Brembo brakes that are like with asymmetrical calipers. Did you see that?
I did see that. And look, I have to, that really piqued my interest. I want to know more about that.
For sure.
Asymmetric calipers. I could sit here and say, no, all about that. I bloody don't. Mm. But point of difference.
Cornering cruise control.
Right.
8-inch TFT touchscreen. So
8-inch is big, isn't it, for a sports bike?
That's a big old screen. And, you know, just like the full electronic. The point I'm trying to make is it's got all the modern stuff.
Yep, she's loaded.
And I wasn't sure when I was over there, like, because TVS Motor, yeah, it builds a lot of motorcycles, but it builds a lot of lower-end motorcycles for developing markets.
Yes.
I wasn't sure, even though the place was so sophisticated, I'm like, they're pumping out a lot of bikes here, which are very primitive motorcycles, yes. You know, from our perspective. And I didn't know that they're building these bikes that are really at the bleeding edge.
Yes.
But without riding it, I look forward to riding one, but the way they're presenting, they look like serious bits of kit, and they don't look like they're taking any shortcuts.
Well, I think if they let the Brits have their head in regard to putting together the marketing design and stuff like that, put behind that the power, the horsepower that they've got in regard to manufacturing, that will work beautifully. I wouldn't want to see it go the other way around.
I've got it written down here as something to talk about. Manufacturing discipline, i.e. TVS Motor, versus British cottage industry romanticism. Do you see what they mean by that? You've got the...
Say that again so I can just...
British cottage industry romanticism versus manufacturing discipline. You could... by that, I mean TVS is the one with the manufacturing discipline, but Norton is...
heart and soul.
It's sentimental.
Yeah.
And how those meet, I don't know. I was so impressed...
It's going to be a fiery night.
I was so impressed by the TVS Motors facilities, but they were... sort of dispassionate. They were on the job, you know. And I guess that's kind of what you want.
That's what
you want.
You
want people who aren't...
The Norton guys wouldn't want you going over there and saying, we're going to change everything.
Yeah, give me the pencil.
Yeah, no, I don't... Look, it can work. It can work. On paper, it looks good.
I agree. So they don't have a track record, though. This is all new. This is a risk.
Absolutely.
And also just how do you feel about... the way they've positioned Norton, because, yeah, no aero, so it's not going to be chasing lap times like on the top end of town, you wouldn't think, in the way it's presented. You know, it's all sort of over-engineered, or that sounds like a negative, but it's got all like flush-fit fasteners and stuff and hidden bolts.
Sleek.
And it's sleek, and so that's what it's looking at.
I think that's a point of difference. I mean, the obvious place where this bike, to me, I don't know whether you agree, but... it's sort of playing in the Ducati Panigale V4S end of town.
Certainly.
M1000RR. So we're talking top end of town. Now, would you want to take on Ducati and BMW absolutely spot on in their game, or would you like to make something a little bit different with a brand that can do it? I think it's a wise thing to do to go, yes, these bikes are around that price group, and yes, the stats are similar, but it's a different motorcycle. And I applaud that, because I don't want to see another clone.
You know what? That's a good point. You're not going to go and beat Ducati at their own game.
Don't take them on at what they do best. I mean, it's not going to be slow, is it? What, 206 horsepower?
206 or 153 kilo. And it weighs not much
212?
Either.
212? Is it?
Less.
204 or something. Might be,
it's 200 and... I know it's 1 kilogram per horsepower.
I think it's 204.
It's 200.
I remember reading the release and...
Yeah. Yeah, 200. Oh, 204 kilograms dry.
Yeah, dry.
Yeah, yeah.
On the moon on a Tuesday.
And of course they've got... Yeah. and they've got those Atlas and Atlas GT, which is an interesting thing.
Can you just talk me through the differences there a little bit?
I know less about these bikes, but they've got a parallel twin. And
we don't know capacity.
No, I don't. I saw
Would you feel 800-900? Hard to know.
Yeah, hard to know. 700-900, I would say. Yeah, probably 700. I don't think it'll be Lambs qualified, if that's what you mean.
Well, that's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
But I wonder whether maybe Africa Twinny sort of territory?
I'd say Africa Twin maybe a little bit too dirt focused.
Maybe Transalp?
Maybe more premium. Definitely Transalp, like, I don't know.
Five Tiger.
It actually looks remarkably like the Moto Guzzi Stelvio, like, well, almost like I'd be having a word kind of close,
you thief.
If I'm honest.
Damn clever, those Italians.
They're very clever over there at Piaggio Group.
Yes, indeed. Well, what I like about that is Norton has spread its wings a bit there. So, they're going to have the Atlas R, which is off its face kind of thing, and it's going to cost you.
Manx R.
Sorry, Manx R. Go on, get mixed up.
Yeah.
They're going to have the Manx R for the Hero Premium, but you want to be able to bring people into the showroom that haven't got 50K but want a Norton.
Yeah, you've got the sizzle, but where's the fucking protein?
That's right. Yeah, but yeah. They're not cheap and cheerful. Like, I could mention a couple of brands that have destroyed brilliant Italian mark names.
Yep.
I won't say over there, the obvious.
It starts with B, does it?
Well, it can start with B.
Yep.
And I don't want to see that again.
I think it would be fair for people to be cautious in their optimism with going to Indian manufacturing. You know, it can present a way. We've seen it not work. We've seen it not work, as you say.
Oh, and it brings a little bit of bloody cultural cringe amongst some people.
It does.
It's in many places, Spence, it's unwarranted, but. Yep. Perception's reality.
Perception is reality, and I got the impression that they're very aware of that, and they
well, the business class told me that in the Flash Hotel. And
that's right. Like, yeah. Well, they weren't mucking around.
you moved on pretty quick from that.
Doxed me there, didn't you, mate?
Struggle Street. What did we have? Butterfly wings in Aspic.
I did actually. Lunch? Actually, I missed my flight on the way back.
Oh yeah. Well. We've all done that.
Yeah. I was only telling that to the butler.
Yeah. Money hasn't changed you.
I also got the opportunity there to ride TVS products there, which, I mean...
Well, thrilling.
I wouldn't blame you for knowing nothing about them because no one does. But
no.
In other places, it's a huge name.
Yes.
And we know their main platform, Apache... So 310 class kind of twin. It underpinned the BMW G310 range. Remember the G310,
yes.
The G310 GS.
Yes.
That's a TVS product.
I always thought if they were a 610, they would have sold shitloads of them.
Yeah, well.
It's just a little bit small.
In India, if it's over 349cc, then they have to pay like double registration.
And who cares what we think?
Who cares what we think?
Yeah,
and that is something that struck me when I was standing at that production line just watching them pump their bikes. I'm like, we don't matter. This is the real world here, you know. Most people are using motorcycles.
4.7 million motorcycles a year, did you
4.7,
say?
4.7, yeah. They
got, not worried about Australia.
No, 90 markets.
Having said that, Norton will worry about Australia.
Norton will worry about Australia.
They want to play primo, they'll have to be here.
Yeah, this is an example of not going for massive volume but having massive cultural impact.
Yes, understood.
And we'll see where they take it. But yeah, I did have a chance to ride TVS's products on a go-kart track out there. They got this 300 sports bike, and it's got a six-axis IMU. It's got an up-down quick shifter, which is just absolutely wild. Like, I turned that stuff off instantly.
It looks great.
It's got winglets and stuff. And I'm looking at this product going, you've just, like, put, like, leader class features on what we think is like as little Uber Eats bike.
Yes.
But over there, it's like it's the big bike.
Well,
look at the big bike. I'm like, a big bike.
It'd be the duck's guts over there.
It would be the duck's guts, yeah.
But, you know, having ridden in India, not to move away from what you're saying, but having ridden in India, both of us have fairly extensively.
Mm.
Anything big is nightmarish. Would be nightmares in India.
Yeah,
you've got that would be more than enough.
Yeah, it is, and I think that they were just trying to make the point that hey, we can do premium even if we're still doing it on our 300 class platform. We can do premium.
Yes,
and it did do some things really well. It's one of the best quick shifters I've ever used ever. It wasn't the best lightweight sports bike I've ever ridden either, though. I don't want to be too effusive or anything.
Wouldn't be
like
the most expensive one you've ridden either.
No. It's a product for global markets, put it that way. But it's definitely not a bad thing. Like, TVS is not a dirty word. I've come away going, yeah, these guys are ready to take on this job. Mm. What I don't know about is it will remains to be seen how much influence TVS in India has over Norton. You know, the bean counters at TVS versus the people in charge of the Norton heritage and brand, which is as we
you're marrying two disparate groups.
That's right. Yeah.
But look, that happens all the time. You know, every production that's a collaboration does that.
That's right. That's right. And I guess that's just the bit with a question mark over its head, because we've seen the bike and it looks good.
Oh, I think there's a few question marks. I mean, they're talking about 200 dealers, and mainly they're talking about India, Europe, I think China. Are they talking about China? I don't know. But
China might be the only one.
There's no real mention of down here.
No.
But 200 dealers, that's serious play.
That's not nothing.
That's serious play.
Yeah.
And if the you have that dealer network with the strength of that. See, this is the hard part about some things, I reckon, Spence. People bring out a very good product. MV Agusta comes to mind, the amount of time they've had a go at it.
Mm.
With
no support.
You've got to be able, if this breaks, I want to be able to go down the shop, talk to a bloke who knows my head and say, can you order in at one of those? And he can say it'll be here in a fortnight.
Yep.
And if they can achieve all that, you can own a boutique brand.
Yep.
I'm not saying they're going to fall apart, but there's nothing worse, and you've got your nice Norton there and it needs a small change and you sit waiting.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Yeah, I agree. So you're a Norton man. You've got a big Norton tattoo across your back.
Yep. I'm a Norton man, absolutely rusted on.
And so you still have the emotional connection to it?
Yeah, I'm picking up the vestiges of what's left.
Yep.
As you said quite rightly at the start, they can't get this wrong.
They can't get it wrong.
Because they've kicked that brand from one, not this mob, other people, but they kicked that brand from arsehole to breakfast.
Yeah.
And we've seen...
A tarnished name that needs to be...
It's in gold letters in my world, and anyone that knows anything about TT racing will agree with you. But at the same time, I feel optimistic about this.
So do I.
If I can see, I like the spread of the motorcycles. What excites me is that they haven't come out with, well, they've got a parallel twin for the smaller ones, but they've built a V4 1200.
Mm.
Now, if you want to get exciting, you know.
Yeah, how do you get much more exciting than that?
Yeah, that is a real change from the mainstream. It puts pressure on them. But it says to me, Norton, it says premium brand. The way they've, if you look at the photos, which is a bit hard for our podcast viewers, I suppose, we'll put some stuff up there. But
yep. Well, infomoto.com.au, we have a full story breaking all of this down in mind-numbing detail. So,
in infomoto.com.au, they might kick on a bit. I like the sound of that.
I don't
think
so.
Can I get a gig there?
Give it up.
Anyway, point being, invisible fasteners and all that sort of thing. I like all that. I can picture that. Like, it's I think it's going to be sufficiently different.
Yes. Yes, I get that impression. They look sexy. They're sexy looking motorbikes.
Oh, sexy. Mm. And they don't, you know, what are they talking about? 8,000 bikes a year.
The capacity.
That's a capacity.
Yeah.
Now, that's a lot of motorcycles.
I think that is from the English, the Solihull. I think that's...
It's like you're saying sorry to Hull.
Yeah, okay.
But not here.
Never say sorry. and so I guess this is our... We've really just today kicked off our EICMA coverage. This is sort of the first
piece. This is where you come in, Spence, the EICMA king. Mm-hmm. They call him the EICMA king around town. I was at the fruit shop.
Yeah.
The fruiterer said, how's the EICMA king? I said, just about to kick off. But yeah, Spencer does a pretty strong rap every year of EICMA and sits up late and burns the midnight oil. And I sit around keeping him fed, basically.
Well, this is a good way to kick it all off with four new Norton motorcycles.
A bit of an exclusive
That's
for
not
you.
A bold new graphic, is it? Four new Norton
That
motorcycles.
Is not a bold new graphic.
So, one of those that look pretty good with a bit of auto glim on it, I reckon, mate.
Oh, that's what I want, mate. The auto glim on that carbon finish.
Oh, forget about
look
it.
Look out.
Forget about it.
And I know when the test bike comes, Spence,
mm-hmm.
all right, now there's going to be, we might be looking at the hierarchy and wondering, how, you know, who goes first here. I know I know I'll be putting my bid in to be the first bloke going down my street on a Norton.
I think you're the man for the job there, Snaggy.
Oh, thank you, Spence. How kind.
We'll get Galley.
Yeah. He'll do the job.
Actually, I saw Ben Galley the other night and we did a shoot with him. I got a tattoo off Seth Enslow.
Oh, that's right. Seth Enslow tattoo. Tell me about that. Who is Seth Enslow?
The man. It's a crusty OG crusty demons guy. He's got the record for he beat Evel Knievel's record of the longest Evel jump Knievel. On a Harley Davidson, among everything else. The guy's like a walking metal. You know, he's had so many accidents that he hit his face really bad on the bars and they had to take off his whole face and rebuild him. So I got the opportunity to go get a Metal Militia tat off him and just pick his brain a bit. It was really interesting. But, yeah, he's as mad as a cut snake, basically what you expect.
But that's what you were going to get.
Yeah, it's what you're going to get.
The tattoo's all right too.
The tattoo's all right. But he's like, he's clever. He's not a rattled guy at all. Yeah. You know, maybe he is rattled, but he hasn't lost it. You wouldn't get anything past him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a tough guy.
And what an absolute legend in that world.
Forget about it.
Top end.
Forget about it. I mean, he epitomized an era where the motorcycling was just at the forefront of popular culture, Krusty Demons, Metal Militia. It was in Charlie's Angels, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And it brought a whole new market of young people.
Absolutely. The music.
Music, that's right. It was, yeah.
It was a cultural phenomenon.
It was.
And that's what interests me, because what made it so special, and I think, yeah, I agree to understand it. They're hard men. They didn't give a fuck, you know. Yeah, were just...
You would have had to have been half mad too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, let's go and break some bones today.
That's right, yeah.
I love that. Like, hats off. At least they did what they said on the tin.
Mm. Interestingly, Seth's, he's gotten sober, which is, California sober.
Yeah, well, that's quite an achievement.
And so he seems to have traded a lot of his obsession for living well now, you know, like he grows all his own food and stuff like that, and he's in crazy good nick.
What age would he be, Spence?
He must be mid-50s.
He looks good for mid-50s, doesn't he?
And
I'm mid-50s too, Spence.
He told me that Indian Motorcycle offered him to regain his record for the longest, like, V-twin jump, because someone just beat it recently, that he held the record for 15 years, taking it off Evel Knievel. And someone's just beaten an Indian Motorcycle's offered it to him, and he thought about it. And he goes, "Oh, no. Why am I going to go get busted up? Like my score's on the board, you know."
That's a grown up decision.
Yeah, it's a grown up decision. And I said to him, "I'm like, mate, there's nothing you could do. Seth Enslow.
Yeah, yeah.
You are Seth Enslow. There is nothing more to add to that story. Yeah. You're still walking. You're still getting around. He's playing music. He's tattooing. He's doing
good
well.
Call.
He's living well. Job's done.
What's he doing in Oz anyway, Spence? Was it some business things?
He's a tattoo artist. You know, he goes around. He loves Australia.
Well, you've got your favourite tattoo shop down there.
Yeah, Loveless Tattoo there.
Loveless Tattoo.
Oh, Johnson Street, Collingwood.
It is. It's a great joint run by a really, really lovely person.
Yeah, Ricky Lee, the legend. He says that he loves Australia and always has. He said he's come to Australia more than any place. When he was touring with the Krusty Demons and all that, like, they would always come to Australia. That he said that the fan reaction all over the world to freestyle motocross is the biggest of anywhere in Australia.
Is that right?
Yeah. So he comes down and he just goes around doing tattoos and kissing babies. And he plays a bit of music and stuff like that. I had a jam.
He's living his life.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a cool experience, like, and one you don't really hear of. I mean, he's not interested in going out and doing press tours and stuff like that. So if you can get him, you take the opportunity.
Oh, you got a tattoo off the bloke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was cool anyway. More on that later. I think we'll wrap up because I've just got about 10 emails because Eichmann's kicking off.
Eichmann! Bing, 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 bing.
We got to get to work, damn it.
Oh, damn.
Anyway, Norton's back.
Norton's back, Spence, and thanks for that update.
You are very welcome, Snaggy. This has been the Infomoto podcast presented by AutoGlim.
AutoGlim.